This is Rich Thomas.
Buying or building a new home comes with many difficult decisions. The mortgage process shouldn't be one of them. Let CBNS Bank's experienced mortgage lenders make the process easy. Visit a CBNS Bank office or cbsbank.com. All loans subject to credit approval. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
The following is a paid program by Earnest Financial. The views and opinions are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
Health and Wealth.
This is the Health and Wealth Radio Network.
Time once again for the Legal Disclaimer. All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to their accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our highly qualified representatives prior to implementation. And that's the Legal Disclaimer.
Yeah.
Is your money working for you? Would you like higher returns with lower risks? David Earnest of Earnest Financial Retirement Rollovers has custom-tailored strategies. With over 30 years in the industry, let him help you achieve your dreams. Earnest Financial, where they are always earnest about your money. Visit retirewithearnest.com or call 279-7431. That's 279-7431. Earnest Financial.
Grab a pen and paper, because in just a second, I'm going to give you a very important phone number. Now, while you're getting your stuff together, let me tell you about my friend David Earnest. David's an asset preservationist, and you might not know what that means. David is the guy that's going to help you keep your money. That's right. You've been saving for retirement, and it'll be here before you know it. And the stock market can go up, and it can go down. But down is a word that is not in David's vocabulary. I checked with him, and it's just not in there. Neither is the word flabbergasted, but that's a different story altogether. You need to call David Earnest today. 279-7431. Call David Earnest. Set up an appointment. There's no obligation. Won't cost you a dime. 279-7431. Call David Earnest today. And if the word flabbergasted comes up in the conversation, well, my bad.
Coming soon to a theater near you. Not a nice theater, but it's near you. Meet a new terror. Attack of the Portfolio Eaters. The story of this man.
Hiya, Toots.
And this woman.
Yoo-hoo.
And this guy on the roof.
Up here.
On this island, struck by nuclear lightning, turning dachshunds into the Portfolio Eaters. You'll be so terrified, you'll want to beat the tar out of everyone in the lobby.
Come here, you. Take that.
Oh. Attack of the Portfolio Eaters. He can run. He cannot hide from the Portfolio Eaters. Don't let the Portfolio Eaters drive you to drink. Call asset preservationist David Earnest. 334-279-7431. When he kills a Portfolio Eater, it stays dead.
Oh, you got me.
334-279-7431. They'll come from the right. They'll come from the left. They'll come straight down the middle. It's attack of the Portfolio Eaters. But it doesn't have to be scary. Call David Earnest, and you can have a happy ending like these two. Only he won't kiss you like that. Unless you ask him. Maybe. You have to work that out with him.
What if the Health and Wealth Show was broadcast in Chinese? What if Abraham Lincoln had a bulletproof head? Aha! In your face, Booth!
What if
chickens had sound effects for when they laid eggs? Tonight, David Earnest presents
What if
on the Health and Wealth Show. Who wants eggs? You want eggs? How you want them? Oh, and Matthew's here.
Cool.
Hey. I got to unmute there. What if I don't unmute?
What if?
what if we won't be able to hear what you got to say? How's everybody?
Doing good.
Fantastic. Fantastic. It's been a pretty good day.
Of course, we lost Rush Limbaugh today.
Yeah, that part is not good.
Yeah,
it was a sad day for that. But at least we did have, I understood, I heard some of it. Donald Trump got on Fox News. I mean, he might have got on something else.
He did.
He talked about how wonderful, you know, it was to know Rush Limbaugh.
I heard that, yeah. And he did, Donald Trump and Rush Limbaugh did something when they gave him, Rush Limbaugh, the award back during the State of the Union.
Yeah, that was wonderful.
That kind of made that award mean something again because, yes, you know, when Obama was leaving, I think people were just walking through and he was pinning it on them and kind of cheapened it and made it not really, kind of like the Nobel Prize when he got it. So
That wasn't good at all.
And it was so cool that he's sitting up there in the gallery next to Melania, and she turns around and puts this award on him, and then she kisses him on the side of his face. I know he was probably more excited about that than he was the award. But I remember listening to him back when he really got big nationwide back in the 80s, late 80s, I guess it was.
Yeah, you know, I heard some things about in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
He was a disc jockey.
Yes, and he also did sports, I understand.
Yeah.
But
you could tell that he was kind of, you know,
his passion
Greg was talking about when they put him on I don't know if it was Monday Night Football or not, but he I think he said something about a player and he got kicked out. But I thought the most unusual thing they ever did, a couple of years they put on Dennis Miller.
Yep.
And Dennis, pretty much any room Dennis Miller walks into, he's too hip for it, if you know what I'm saying. I watched football that year just for that, because Dennis Miller, they're all looking at him like, what? It was just so cool.
Yeah.
But
Howard Cosell was pretty unique, too.
Oh, I loved Howard Cosell. And
Muhammad.
One more little thing, Muhammad Ali. I was not in radio yet. It was a few years before when I was listening to Larry, and they ran Howard Cosell every morning like it's 7:20 or something.
Yeah.
And for 4 days, he had been talking about Muhammad Ali. And Larry said, if he starts out with Muhammad Ali, I'm turning him off. And so we're riding down the road, and he said, this is Howard Cosell speaking of sports. Muhammad, I click. That's it. Cut him off and
too much of it. Yeah, I get it.
But you know,
they ever talked about
what was funny about that is, you know, they were very close, Muhammad Ali, and they acted like they fought all the time, but they were good buddies.
Part of the game, yeah.
And the funniest thing was when he tried to pull Howard's hair off.
Ooh, that probably hurt.
He wore a toupee, you know. It was a real bad one.
It was a horrible one.
I've seen some bad toupees.
Almost like, what you call him? Is Sam Donaldson's? Remember him? Was that a toupee?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember.
It looked Sam like Donaldson. It. But I'm growing me an extra toupee. Have you noticed how long it's getting?
I see that. It looks kind of fuzzy, but that's okay.
I'm going to wander the land like Kung Fu. Defending the helpless.
Are we recording this show?
You know we're not.
Okay, well then I won't worry about it.
Okay. I wish I'd thought about it.
I had fixed my hair and everything.
Yeah, I know. I could tell. It looks
was sticking
good,
all
man.
Over the place.
Everybody
in Radio Land is going, what? What?
Is your camera, David, is it on the computer?
Yes.
Okay. I got to get you, and I got, I can get you one. A little light.
Oh,
it's a little light. It's a little ring, and you put it on wherever your camera is, and it kind of like because you're kind of not dull, but you kind of
look dull,
kind of dark.
Hopefully,
and
I don't sound dull.
No, you sound fine, man.
Yeah,
and we were working on a microphone too.
Yeah, we've got a new microphone. I was talking to him about that before the show.
Oh,
so
cool, cool. Yeah.
I know you guys are trying. Y'all trying in a gentle way, telling me I sound bad. I get it.
No.
That's okay.
You'll just sound better with a.
I can go. there.
Well, you'll sound better with a better microphone, and you know when there's that shadow on your face, we want everybody to see all the lines and wrinkles there, and all that wisdom you got.
Oh, come on now. Let's change the subject.
That's why I'm here. That's why they keep me over here.
Yeah. So tonight we're talking about what if.
Yes.
And
what
we
if?
Do want some response. I've got a bunch of what ifs here, and I'm sure, you know, a lot of folks are thinking, what if? Mm-hmm. What if this? What if that?
Somebody sent me one. I'll look it up while you're...
Yeah. And I think we're going to have a phone call about 6:20 p.m., and he's going to talk about what if. It's pretty cold. I'll give you a hint, okay?
Okay.
It's cold out there. So what if it gets colder? And there's other things. Well, anyway, what if? What? And I've been monitoring this stuff for a while about the interest rates and the Feds and all these things that are going on. So here's some what ifs in relationship to that. What if interest rates rise due to inflation? What does that normally do? What if that happens? Does anyone know what if on that? What could it cause? Well,
the value of the dollar would go down.
That's true. That's true. Very good answer. Very good answer. So what else could go down if inflation hits?
Oh, man. Everything across the board. I mean,
stock market.
Yeah. I'm saying when you have rampant inflation and a stock market that goes down, that's when people end up in bad situations.
Yeah. When you have interest rates go up, people tend to pull their money out of the market and go into the interest rates like they did in the 70s. Not good for the stock market. Right now, there was a nervousness this morning. I saw it, where the stock market did not respond very well to very slight increases. And then all of a sudden, the Feds came in and did their little save, you've heard of the save. Well, how many saves do they have? You see, they keep using their saves.
Yeah.
They said, don't worry about it. We're going to keep interest rates low. We're not responding to that. You know, there's so many saves you can have. I mean, how many timeouts can you have in a ball game? Not multiples. What do you get? Two or three or four per half, you know? So where are we in this game of economics right now? I think we're in the last quarter, if you want to know the truth, of what's going to happen ultimately. So here's another one. What if stock market decides to correct? Will the fact that some economists think that it's 245% overvalued, would that make a difference in how bad it would correct? Think about this for a moment. 245% overvalued? Now, I'm not saying that that's the case. There's economists that think that it's... There's some that think it's more than that. So if the economy were to be 245%, or the stock market's 245% overvalued, what would that do to the market once the correction
hit? Oh, gosh. I mean, you'd be 245 degrees the other way, you know?
Could be worse. Oh, here's another one. What if more famed investors, like Jim Rogers, keep forecasting not to buy stocks that they're too high right now? What if there's a lot of them keep saying that? What will that ultimately cause? You know, you got all these forecasters saying, hey, stocks are high, don't buy. It's too high, don't buy. I'm not saying that at all. I'm asking a question.
They won't buy, and how will that affect the market? Will that bring the market down?
Well, I mean, once they quit buying and start selling, what do you think?
Well, yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah. What if economists like Harry Dent and others are correct and the market goes down 60 to 90% over the next 3 to 5 years? How will that affect people's retirement plans if you're 5 to 10 years away?
It won't affect anybody that is a client at Ernest Financial.
Well, they won't lose any money or principal, that's for sure. It would affect a lot of things. It would probably make the dollar more valuable because it would be more scarce, you see, because when it goes away, in other words, all this money's in the market, but when it goes away, it don't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, people have euphoria, and they go out and they buy things. This is a known fact. Just read about it. They go out and they buy houses, and they buy, you know, supplies, and they buy cars, and they buy everything. when they feel like they're richer. But when you feel like you're poor or poor, what do? You shut down, right?
Kind of.
You know what I mean? I know if I feel like that, go ahead.
Yeah, kind of hang on to it, kind of circle the wagons, I guess. You know, you just kind of want to watch what you're doing and hold on to your assets.
And so what does that do to the economy when people don't spend?
It becomes stagnant.
I would say that.
It can become, Matthew says, stagnant. We could have, and you know that brings up another word.
Yeah.
Stagflation.
I knew you remember that word. I said, man, I bet you David's going to.
Yeah, stagflation. That's when you had inflation and a stagnant economy. It wasn't growing. Stagflation. We had that really, really bad in the late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the economy was not growing. We had problems. But we also had massive inflation.
Then your interest rates, they got upwards of, 18% or something
Or even 20. The thing is, the feds had no choice but to choke it down. You know, what if the feds had no choice again but to choke it down and this big, massive potential balloon of a market? What would it do to people's assets if this were to happen? What if? Could be disastrous.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we're telling folks that are 5 to 10 years away, be careful. We're not in usual times. I don't personally think that we are in normal times. You know, normally when you have a correction, things can come back rather quickly but I read somewhere today that when the stock market goes down more than 40%, sometimes it takes at least 7 years for things to come back.
Wow.
I didn't fact check all that, but the thing is, that's what I did read. The thing is, if it don't go down that much, then it takes less time for it to correct. But massively, when it has massive drops like that, it usually takes much more time. And the average time, if it goes down at least 40% or more, I read was 7 years or longer. That's kind of bad. Think about what that could do to you. Now, let's talk about a little bit more about some wild, crazy things that are going on, in my opinion, and some other people's opinion. Bitcoin. You know, the feds are real scared of that. I read today that the feds were looking at it. They were checking it out. They're very concerned, obviously, about Bitcoin, what it could do to the economy if people began to realize that it really didn't have the value. You know, there was something said about it's not a currency per se. It's more of a public thing. It's not a government thing. Okay.
Well, let me ask you a question.
You can purchase things with it. You know, I mean, I'm sorry, Rusty.
No, go ahead.
Cut you up. I was just going to say, I mean, it's kind of one of those mysterious things. People that don't know a lot about Bitcoin, you hear about it, you just assume, okay, that's some, you know, just some new thing. But I mean, that stuff has gone up, in value astronomically, but there's no paper. You know, I mean, it's a total digital currency. There was just a certain amount of it made.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's kind of a complex thing. I mean, it's simple, but it's complex at the same time.
Yeah.
There's people that buy and have these huge elaborate setups where they just mine Bitcoin all day long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I mean, that stuff could go away overnight.
But the value could be. Here's the thing that's very interesting to me. 80% of all the potential Bitcoin has been mined, I read. So I also read that it could take several hundred years
for the other 20%
to get the other 20%. So how would that affect it being used as coinage?
It's like
have enough of it.
It's like a gold rush. You know, I mean, people jumped on it that were. You know, thinking that, hey, this is going to be really something if I do it over maybe short to long period of time, it's going to be worth who knows what.
We don't give any advice on Bitcoin. We don't give any at all. We're just asking questions.
Let me ask this question.
Yeah.
Now, Bitcoin, I just want to kind of see if I can draw it where I can understand it. Say I got a boatload of washers.
Mm-hmm.
Little washers like you fix screws with.
Right.
And I said each one of those was worth $20.
Yeah.
And I start going around and people are giving me $20 each for these things. Now, I would imagine among the people that bought into it, Mm-hmm. That would seem like, well, that's worth $20 here. I'll give you two of these, and you give me that. But people who didn't buy into it, they're looking like, what are you people doing?
Yeah.
Is that about the way that is? I mean, they just made up something?
Yeah, in my opinion, yes, because Bitcoin is
it's like
just
a traveler's check that's not backed up by the bank or something.
Okay.
Nothing backing it up. Nothing except the people who are advocating it, from what I can tell. In other words, it's a blockchain, meaning that, you know, it's encrypted, but it's got a blockchain that has these that can keep up with it, and it's encrypted, so you don't know who has it and who's buying. And then you got the government out there saying, well, we want to know how much so that we can tax it.
And there's a good documentary if you want to know more about it. I think we got a phone call.
Yes, we do have a phone call. You're on the air with Matthew and David, and we're talking about what if. Identify yourself and don't cuss.
I would like to cuss if I could, please, sir.
Well, hang on to it for a little while. I don't want to get yelled at.
How y'all doing, guys?
All good, man.
Hey, how you doing? That sounds like my good friend Paul Barron.
I was going to say, it must be Paul.
Well, is that Paul?
Is.
Hey, Paul.
That's me.
Hey, Paul, I got a what if for you. What if your heat goes out right now?
Oh, man.
Who would you call?
You can call Alabama Heating and Air, 334-669-6693.
Yeah,
you wouldn't want to call
Ghostbusters because that probably wouldn't do you any good. But if you call Paul Barry at Alabama Heating and Air at 334-669-6693, he could probably fix it in a hurry, and it wouldn't cost a lot.
And save him money.
I know you saved me $700 not too long ago on a thermostat, and I'm very much appreciative of it.
Yes, sir. How y'all guys been doing?
Well, we have been trying to keep dry and warm. What would I do if something happens at my house and I wasn't warm anymore?
You call me, Alabama Heating and Air, and I can come out there and fix it.
I know, and it wouldn't cost me much. Last time he came in there, it was like I couldn't believe how low it was. It was like probably 20% of what somebody else would want or less. I mean, that was unbelievable. I'm always
saying. Yes, sir. David, you know, Mr. David, and also we're going to add to Alabama Heat and Air's full home maintenance and commercial maintenance. That means all your home repairs, all your business repairs, from granite countertops to roof to anything to do with a home or building, we're adding to it.
That's wonderful.
That's a number to write down. That's good to know.
That's right.
There's no job too small. There's no job too big. We do it all.
I know you do. I mean, I've seen you do some of these jobs, and it's unbelievable the stuff that you do and what you provide to solve a problem. One of these things I know that you do is, like, if someone's leaking Freon, you find out a way to fix it, and then you don't charge them one arm and a leg when they need that replacement of Freon. And there's some other things that you do that a lot of folks don't do that I understand can fix evaporators real quick for like 100 times cheaper sometimes than what it would cost.
So, I try every solution I can to save somebody money before I charge them.
So give us that number again, Paul. 669-6693.
I mean, that's a good one to remember.
That is.
Yeah.
That is a good one. You know, we're sitting here, Paul, talking about what ifs, you know, and I was thinking to myself after I talked to you the other day, what if something happens to one of my four air conditioners or heaters? What would I do? And I know I feel very good because I could call you and you'd be right there, Johnny on the spot, fix me up. And I wouldn't have to part with so much money either. I could feel like I had been treated right and not, you know, treated wrong. You know, people are still looking for deals. You know, they're looking for deals, and you're one heck of a deal.
Oh, man, he does quality work, too. I mean, that's a big thing. He's a knowledgeable guy. You know,
I mean, my air conditioners, I'm going to knock on some wood here, and my heaters have been running for a good while, and thanks to you, and, you know, I appreciate that very much.
Yes, sir. Well, I appreciate y'all, and y'all give me a call if y'all need me.
Give that number one more time before you sign off, Paul.
It's 334-669-6693.
So any of you guys out there thinking, what if my heater goes out? What if my air conditioner goes on blink right now? You don't care right now, no, but that heater is very, 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 very important. And if heat pumps or whatever you got.
Did you guys see all that? Did you see all the, you know, the green energy we got going? And man, I'm not against green energy, but I think that there's a lot of pitfalls to it, and it's definitely something that should be supplemented. I don't think that there's any way you can switch everything over all at once.
No,
you can't. And it's like
they had all the snow covering the solar panels, and they had all the, you know, the wind towers that were iced up and could not move. And I'm thinking, what do you do then? I mean, those aren't generating any electricity for anyone. So,
I mean, just think about this one little thing. EPA in 2022 is making air conditioning companies go to all different freons again.
I'm telling you, they just want to keep their hands in it. They have restrictions and constant regulation and rule changes.
Yeah.
So that they can control it.
I don't want to put you on the spot here, Paul, but don't you have some kind of replacement stuff that's a lot cheaper you can put in these systems that are old now?
We can. I put stop leak in them all the time, and I've had, like, at your house over your garage, it's got stop leak.
Oh, I know. That saved me thousands.
Yeah. I try to save people money any way I can. I mean, I run on being honest, and I'm not going to come out and sell somebody a unit that doesn't need a unit like a lot of other companies did.
Yeah. It kept my systems going. My systems are getting kind of aged, like some of us retirees, you know, are getting kind of aged. But we're still going strong, and my systems are still going strong because they've been kind of, you know,
well maintained, man. You can't expect something. I mean, you're not gonna get lucky every time, especially with the way stuff's made now. You gotta take the proper steps to maintain it.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Well, I appreciate y'all, and
go ahead.
Anybody needs me, 334-669-6693.
Looking Thanks, forward Paul. To seeing you again soon, but hopefully not because of a problem.
we have that problem taken care of on Friday. I'll be back up at it first of the week.
All right, my friend.
Thank
you for calling so much, Paul.
Thank y'all. Bye-bye.
You have a great day.
Paul. All right, Paul.
We're talking about what ifs. I know we're coming up on a break.
Yeah.
If we would like for some folks to call in and give us a what if that's interesting, because we are going to provide the best one that's called in tonight and tomorrow night, a lunch at Texas Roadhouse for two. So you've got to give us a call if you're interested in eating some good old steak or chicken or whatever at the Texas Roadhouse. Give us a call. And what's the number to call on the radio? Is
972-9228.
Yeah, between the three of us.
What's the number if you want to get a hold of us? What's the number to call us?
279-7431.
There you go.
That's right. And I know we're about to take a break with Rusty's magic there. I see him grinning. He's about to push some kind of button and cut me off. So I guess I better quit crowing for a while.
There it is. Now, you can crow much as you want to. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back in just moments talking about what if. Remember, Terry Adams will be with us tomorrow night. Maybe Matthew will be back. Maybe we'll tape this one and make a TV show out of it. Who knows?
That'd be good.
All right.
We want to know some more what ifs.
There you go. Stay right where you are. We'll be back with more health and wealth in just moments. Don't you go away.
Is your money working for you? Would you like higher returns with lower risks? David Earnest of Earnest Financial Retirement Rollovers has custom-tailored strategies. With over 30 years in the industry, let him help you achieve your dreams. Earnest Financial, where they are always earnest about your money. Visit retirewithearnest.com or call 279-7431. That's 279-7431. Earnest Financial.
This is your roving reporter, and today I'm speaking with the Invisible Man. Well, I thought I was speaking to the Invisible Man. He does not seem to be... Hello! Oh, there you are.
Yeah, man. Sorry, I was just messing with you.
Tell me, what are some of the advantages to being an Invisible Man?
You can save money on dry cleaning, and it's easier to sneak into the movies.
And like so many other unusual people I talk to, you probably use David Ernest as your asset preservationist.
Oh, wow, man. You saw right through me on that one.
I understand he's been in the business almost 40 years.
And you can put David to work for you today by calling 279-7431.
An unsolicited testimonial for asset preservationist David Ernest from The Invisible Man.
That's right, man.
One final question. How is it you save money on dry cleaning?
Well, invisible men don't wear clothes, man.
Really? You're not standing behind me, are you?
Coming soon to a motion picture theater near you.
He found the lost ark. He found the Holy Grail. He went way back in the back part of Hollywood and found Sean Connery. But now it's time for a new adventure. Coming soon, it's Indiana Bones and the search for hand sanitizer.
Thank you for calling Walmart.
Yeah. You got any hand sanitizer?
No, sir. We're fresh out.
To Walgreens, to CVS, to Dollar General. Still no hand sanitizer.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Will our hero find what he's looking for? Will he come up empty-handed? Or will he realize that just washing your hands thoroughly can help fight the coronavirus? It's incredible. It's indescribable. And it's in this theater next week. And don't miss Indiana Bones' next big adventure in Indiana Bones and the Temple of Toilet Paper.
Welcome back to the Health and Wealth Show, the number one program on this radio station at this time. Prove me wrong. But here's one thing nobody can argue about. David Ernest is Montgomery's most beloved asset preservationist. He's got a website at retirewithernest.com, and he's been known to hang around down at the Waffle House, where you can sometimes hear him say, "Psst, why don't you let me take a look at your portfolio?" Anyway, here he is right now, David Ernest. There you are, right
here
now.
I'm zooming in. Yes.
Yes, right. You are.
And we're talking about what if.
Yes. What if Matthew was with? Oh, he is with us.
Hey, I'm here.
There's a lot of what ifs out there. You know, you look back and you think about what if I had done this, what if I had done that.
I think back to about
1980 when I read if I had put about $1,000 into Microsoft, I would be so stinking rich right now.
Yeah, right.
And that's why I'm working on my time machine.
We're talking about some stuff here. What if Warren Buffett is accurate, or his indicator?
Yeah.
What if the Warren Buffett indicator is correct and stocks are way overvalued? Do you know what I read today? The value of that indicator, and it measures corporate equities to the GDP as a ratio. Right now, it's about 190%. So in 2020, it had climbed to like 183%. This is stuff I'm, getting off the internet. All right, here's how you measure it, supposedly. If it's between 70 and 80%, the indicator, according to Warren Buffett, it's good to put money in the stock market.
Okay. Uh-huh.
This is according to Warren Buffett's indicator. Once it gets to 100%, danger, danger. Sort of like that little show, Danger, Danger.
Lost in Space.
That's it, yeah.
Lost in Space. Yeah. When it gets to 140%, extreme danger. And here we are at 190%. What does that say for that indicator if it's accurate? What if it's accurate? What if?
That's a big what if.
that could be bad.
That's a huge what if.
It's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the big one. You know, they keep looking for the big one. Where is it? You know, what if the big one hits? And it could be, as far as we're concerned, it could be an earthquake. But it could be earth-shattering to the market if this indicator is correct. So here's another one. What if the Democrats kill the economy and Wall Street responds accordingly? In other words, they don't pretend that it's not killed like they are right now. It is DOA right now, guys. Everybody is not working. We still have very, very high unemployment. I think it's at least 6.5-7%. You know, why are we doing all these things? And what if the market, and what if a sane, normal person begins to realize that this is not real? What if they understand that this is purely hot air? What if?
What if?
Here's another what if. What if our good president elect, or should I say our bad president, takes away Step Up? I've talked about this many times. Most of you probably have heard of it. You're kind of sick of it, but I'm going to go over it again. Mm-hmm. What if Biden takes away Step Up and the average American, I'm just guesstimating here, loses $50,000 to $100,000 or more in taxes at inheritance time? In other words, when they were supposed to get, and this is just an average, some people could lose hundreds of thousands or even millions, because if what they were supposed to get was supposed to be tax-free on the capital gain side, what if all of a sudden they had to pay 40 percentage points on, or less or more, on that gain? What would that do to our economy if all of a sudden they started robbing us that kind of inheritance money?
Uh-huh.
You know, eventually people do die, and eventually it passes into another generation. And this is not estate taxes. This is not inheritance tax. This is a robbing, dirty trick that they are going to rob us blind and destroy everything we've ever worked for and that our parents were trying to deliver to us. What if Biden gets his way? What if he destroys us and gets his way? What do you think that would do, Matthew?
Do you think he would even be aware of what he was doing?
Maybe he's not.
Man, I tell you what, it's frightening. And I know we've kind of just steered away with everything that's been going on lately, but, you know, I don't think it's going to take very long for people to fully realize just how bad it could get. And I think that this is just the top of the slide, so to speak.
And I mean, you know, I feel like Moses on the Mount, or what do you call it? Or I know I keep harping about the same things over and over, guys, but it's you say that guy's passionate. Does he know what he's talking about? Well, when it's as plain as the nose on your face, and that history repeats itself, and all these experts say this thing is not real, and yet we continue to gamble what we have and keep on going down that road. What if history does repeat itself? What if the Warren Buffett indicator is correct?
Well, what if it's worse than it was in 29? I mean, it's not a matter of, we don't know the future. You don't know when.
Well,
problem. Yeah, and this shows what if. I mean, they say it's not if, it's when.
Well, I got something for you. The people aren't the same as they were in 1929.
No.
I think a lot of the younger people, they just lay down and die if something happened, because they wouldn't have any idea what to do.
No.
The way that people are taught to think now is very different than, say, 40, 50 years ago. I mean, you don't just go by rules for the sake of them being rules. You're taught to constantly question or interpret them in some other way. I mean, I saw something today. It had to do with, I believe, what Rush Limbaugh, one of his famous quotes was, you know, he said, conservatives, quote, the Constitution, and right. liberals interpret it. Like, basically make, you know, they try to bend it or... Mm-hmm.
Kind of like the Bible.
Right. You know.
Exactly. I get it.
So,
you see some of these cities that wanted you to fund the police. What is it, Minnesota?
Mm-hmm. They're begging them to fund them now.
They're begging, you know, for the exactly because they're ransacking them. They're stealing and they can't get any help. So what if the police in middle-sized cities are the cities? Decided that they would cut down, say like Montgomery, Alabama, where our murder rate, I was hearing earlier, has gone up worse than Detroit, supposedly. What if...
Montgomery has its own bag of problems, but I mean, Alabama as a whole has had a lot of just negative stuff. I was listening to Joey earlier this morning, and they were talking about some of the public schools up in Birmingham. By third grade, the literacy rate is only 30%. That means 30 out of 100 kids are literate in the third grade. I mean, that's a scary thing.
I got one word for this. Lottery.
Yeah.
I don't want to step on any religious folks' toes. I'm religious too. But I do believe that if we do not compete with these other states, we will be left behind, unless you want to pay more taxes, okay? I know the lottery is a bad thing for some people, but it can't be worse than the casinos.
I mean, it can be.
It can't be worse than the casinos.
Yeah, I mean, they were talking about how, look, the Creek Indians, I mean, Alabama made a deal with them, and that's it. And that's...
Oh, yeah, I know. I've heard backdoor deals. I get it. So what if someone gets brave enough and does the right thing and we get a lottery that actually goes to the schools? What if that could be a big boon for our economy? Big one, because as you said, we would have more educated and less illiterate students that could drive this economy. This economy needs help. It is dead. This economy is dead right now. It is not where it needs to be. And if you've got your money in the stock market, in my opinion, you're about to get slammed worse than anything that could even happen to you in your lifetime, other than maybe some kind of health issue. This is going to be bad. I don't know for sure when. I can't even tell you for sure that it's going to happen, because this is pure insanity, what's going on right now. This Buffett indicator of 190%, when anything over 100 is dangerous and 140 is extreme danger, that's scary.
Yeah, it really
scary.
Is.
Scary. You know, why on earth would anyone want, if they were within 5 years of retirement, want to risk massive amounts of money? You know, 5 or 10 years is a lot when you get older. Just a lot of time.
And I have another question. I don't mean to butt in, but we were talking about this a while ago. You don't want to lose your principal.
No.
That's the 11th commandment. Do not lose the principal. It's also the name of the upcoming book.
Yeah, we wrote a book.
David Ernest. The 11th commandment. Do not the 11th lose commandment, the principal.
Shall not lose the principal.
Okay. Now my question is: so mm-hmm. I put in some money. I put in an amount of money with you, probably, 12, 18 months ago.
Yeah.
And in that amount of time, mm-hmm. we have generated $20,000 worth of interest.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what numbers we'd have to have. Would it be possible to draw that 20% gain out mm-hmm. and turn around and reinvest it, making it part of the principal? That way...
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Uh-huh. The principal owns the indexed annuities. Mm-hmm. Whatever interest you make goes back in and is protected, just like the principal.
Okay.
Because we're pretending, in a sense, that it is part of the principal.
Right.
Because whatever interest goes in becomes... the protected part again. Mm-hmm. In other words, you can't ever, once it's paid as interest, it goes into the stock market. This interest goes into the stock market to make more return. When that return is made, these index annuities put it back into that same pot that the principal was in and adds it to it, and it can never go away based on the insurance company's guarantee. Okay?
All right.
They guarantee that along with the original amount, along with... you can only make withdrawals to reduce it, you know, unless there's a fee occasionally in there. But most of the time, we don't put any with fees on there. So essentially, it's just like a bank account from that perspective, that it, the only way it goes down if you pull it out and use
right.
it.
Right.
So, yes, yeah, absolutely, that $20,000 would be protected. Does that answer that question?
That does, because that's,
I'll add another little caveat to that.
Okay.
Not only is it protected until you pull it out, it's tax deferred. You don't pay taxes on it.
Now, that's
if you made that same $20,000 in a bank, you'd have to pay taxes on it. If you made that same $20,000 added in stocks, you would have to pay taxes on it if it was a mutual fund or something, because they make you pay taxes every year or
right.
so on capital gains, short-term and long-term capital gains. So, you know, you defer your taxes. I mean, there's a difference. But Biden says he wants to make capital gains the same tax as ordinary income tax. So there won't be any advantage in being in stocks from that perspective.
Right.
Versus a tax deferral or tax-free would always be better. See where we're headed?
Mm-hmm.
We're headed toward a bad situation for the market when Biden gets through with it, in my opinion, because he's trying to destroy the tax system that is built on, and he's trying to fix it where he can take more money away from people when they inherit money. It's not going to be good once he gets all these things passed. I hope he can't get them passed. I hope that we have enough conservatives that'll hold it back. But I fear that with Ms. Harris in there and her one overriding vote, that they will get what they want and they will destroy us.
And, you know, you haven't heard so much about her lately. And it being Black History Month and the fact that she identifies as a African-American female. But, you know, the last time I saw that, says she was the first female Indian American. So I think they're off of that now. But you hadn't heard much out of her lately.
Yeah, I could care less about the racial thing. What I care about is the fact that she will cause more taxes and cause more detrimental effect to our markets and to our economy when they start raising these taxes, and it's going to not be nice. Look at what happened when Trump came in and he deregulated everything and also lowered the taxes. Look what happened to the market.
I know. It flourished.
Now stumbling around, not knowing what to do. I tell you what it's going to do, potentially, if they keep kicking it like that. It's not going to be good.
No.
So what if? I fear to think what if. But I still would love to have some folks call in tonight or tomorrow night and give us some what ifs from their perspective. It don't have to be anything related to what we're talking about. Just any kind of what if, you know.
What if they had not changed Darren's on Bewitched?
Yeah, what if? What if they had done that? Would they have taken the Bewitched off the air? You know?
What if 007 had been 006? Would he not have made as many movies?
Well, he would have had a six-shooter instead of a seven. I don't know. He never runs out of bullets, so I don't know. Maybe he's got a 100-shooter. I don't know.
He's one of the movies, they made him change guns.
Really?
They were using the Walther PPK, and then they changed it. And he snuck the Walther PPK out because he liked it. My favorite James Bond.
I wish that we had as many bullets as he's got in solving things.
Well, you got to have ammunition.
That's another story.
Yeah.
What if they start making it where you can't keep your ammunition? What will that do? You know, there's a lot of things that could be affected here, and I've heard ammunition's gone through the roof.
You can't even find it. It's hard to find.
It is hard to find.
Why do you think? What do you think? Is cause of that, and what if it gets worse, and why? You see, what ifs are, there's a lot of what ifs out there, and people are scared, and I'm one of them. I'm afraid of what's going to happen. That's the reason why I am being so careful with my money and my clients' money, because I know It could get bad. It could. Don't think that it can't get bad. Just don't. Just look. It's you know, we are in a different situation right now than we were a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things are completely different.
Well, there's that song from the Mel Brooks movie, The 12 Chairs. Hope for the best, expect the worst.
That's it.
Right.
I mean, you
and that's what we do.
And you got to hope for the best, but expecting the worst, you would pick up the phone and you would call David Ernest. 2797431 And he said, Dave, you got to help me. Of course, you might not talk to him right then. He will call you back, though. But tell him what you need. Tell him what you're looking at. Tell him what you're thinking about. You'll get to come in, sit down, talk to Matthew, talk to David, talk to Princess Leah, and they'll come up with something that fits you. But you got to make the call, 2797431 because they're not psychotic. They're not psychic.
We're not that
Maybe a little of us on the weekend, yeah. But they're not psychotic. Damn it, I said it again. They're not psychic.
I feel psychotic. Yeah, after,
I think I'm off my meds, I guess. They're not psychic. You got to call them 2797.
Some people might think I'm a little psychotic.
Well, you know, it ain't none of us, you know, perfect as far as that go. We all got a little tick here and there, you know. It's like this lady I used to know in Wetumpka. She'd go in the diner over there every day, and she would walk around, and she would pull out these little like wet naps out of her purse, and she would sit down. Well, she wouldn't sit down. She would wipe the seat down. She'd wipe the back of it down. She'd wipe the table down. She'd wipe the silverware down. And she'd been coming in there doing that for 30 years, and nobody didn't. But she had to do that before she could be comfortable.
Yep. That's a little bit of a problem there.
Yeah.
OCD.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, we all have our little OCDs, okay?
Yeah.
Every human alive has some kind of quirk or tick, you know. And I guess mine is because I was raised in a very different world. And I saw a lot of different things where people lost a lot of stuff. People were scared. And I was also, you know, the Marmaduke effect. And we talked about Marmaduke. That'll be in my book, by the way.
We need to talk about Marmaduke. Hey,
Marmaduke.
Am I going to be in the book?
My life.
Am I going to get to be in the book?
Well,
probably not.
There's a whole chapter on you, Rusty. Yes.
Actually, you won't be in the first book, Rusty. You'll be in the second book, though, because it's about another topic altogether. We're already starting on the second book.
What is that? Knuckleheads I have known and loved? What is
that? How did you know that?
I just, psychotic.
Anyway.
I give you a free psychotic reading.
We haven't come up with a title yet, but we have come up with some information that we want to talk about. Topics, but not a title. So anyway, the thing is, being an asset preservationist, we're always going to be tilted toward conservation and keeping what you have and letting it grow in a safe way.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we head, because we do fear these next 5 to 10 years. We fear what could happen. I don't know if it will happen. I hope it don't. The thing is, if it does, you don't want to place everything. You know, it's like you go into a casino and say, well, would you like to place everything you have on these numbers? And if it hits you, you'll be really well off. But if it hits this over here, you're not so good.
Okay.
We want to change it around. The casino, remember I talked about how the program works. Let's say we change the blackjack to where every time you win, maybe you get 50 to 70% of all the winnings, but every time you lose, you don't have to pay the dealer.
I like that.
How long are you going to play, Rusty?
I would be there I'd take a sandwich.
That's the way our program works. Every time the market goes up, you get, you know, maybe 50 to 70% or some kind of number like that, or some kind of percentage of the market. But every time it goes down, you don't lose anything. You don't have to pay for losing. You keep what you got.
And
it's safer.
And my response to that just a moment ago, that I've got a name for the book.
All right.
Okay, it's called If You're Hanging with Jesse James and You Got Your Portfolio and a Sandwich, Don't Let Him Watch Your Portfolio. You can let him hold your sandwich because you can get another sandwich, but your portfolio, that could turn off bad now.
Yeah. You know, that's, I mean, that sounds,
it's a little long, a little wordy, but
that's right. Yeah, that's,
I like it.
We could use something with about the great train robbery. Call it something. So, you know, you just want to play it safe once you get it built up. The stock market's a wonderful thing for those who can afford to let it go up and down and not have to worry about it for long periods of time. But shorter periods, it gets very dangerous, you know. And that's the point we're trying to make. These next 5 to 10 years could be dangerous. We don't know. But it looks very dangerous right now with these Buffett numbers being at about 190%, and he said anything over 140% was extremely dangerous.
Well, that's extremely dangerous plus about 50.
I get it.
I mean, I did some math there. I know it's shocking. But
so
you know,
what if Warren Buffett's numbers are correct?
Could be.
What if his ratios were, what will that mean for the, you know, listen, he's worth $100 billion. If he loses half of it, or he loses 70% of it on paper, I think he can live on $30 billion until it comes back to 100.
Probably.
Or some of his people can.
And he's,
but if you got half a million or 250 or a million or 30,000 or something, and you lose half or 70% of it, and you needed it, there's a big difference between that story.
You want to hang on to it. And, fellas, you know, we're just about out of time, and I got us a song to go out with. It has nothing to do with anything we talked about. It's just a little upbeat song I thought we would
do.
Yeah,
after all the stuff I
But you want
to... Just go to the upbeat. You go to the upbeat?
Yeah, you want to give the phone number one more time?
Say that again?
I say you want to do the phone number one more time?
Yeah, our phone number is 279-7431. That's 279-7431. If you want to, you know, get in protection mode or want to ask some questions about how you could get into protection mode, call 279-7431 or go to retirewithartist.com.
All right. Thanks, David and Matthew.
Thank you. Hope to see you again soon.
Yes, sir.
And remember, tomorrow night it's What If Part 2 with Terry Adams. And
I
found my Gordon Lightfoot CD. This is Cotton Jenny right here. Thanks for tuning in. News Talk 93.1 FM. This has been the Health and Wealth Show.
There's a house on a hill by a worn-down, weathered old mill in the valley below where the river winds. There's no such thing as bad times. She waits.